السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam on Medium 1548. We are going live with the Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas, inshallah. Okay, just to inform our listeners out there that Radio Islam will not be taking on any questions pertaining to loud dhikr in the masjid or congregation. That Radio Islam will not be taking any questions pertaining to loud dhikr in the masjid or in a congregation. And as we all know, Mufti Ilyas's viewpoint on dhikr is quite well known to one and all out there. Many leading ulama, in fact, the Mufti of Jamiat Ulama, as well as Darul Ulum Zakariya, the Sheikh al-Hadith, Mufti Radha al-Haq, is on the opinion that loud dhikr is permissible in the masajid, as long as it does not cause a disturbance to anyone or while making salah or a person that is sleeping. So there, once again, just to inform our listeners out there that Radio Islam will not be taking any questions pertaining to loud dhikr in the masjid or in a congregation. And Mufti Ilyas's viewpoint on dhikr is quite well known. Many leading ulama, including Mufti Radha al-Haq, are on the opinion that loud dhikr in the masjid and the congregation is permissible as long as it does not cause a disturbance to anyone, any musalli that's reading salah or person sleeping in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we're going live right now with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas, and inshallah, just to remind our listeners out there, our lines are open, 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Our mobile number for tonight, 08235659888. That's 08235659888. Alternatively, you can email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We have Mufti Zab online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Zab?
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakumullah for joining us once again. Okay, going on to the first question for tonight that we have. It says, can we give zakat to someone who is in deep debt? And can you put zakat in the boxes that are provided in the masjid during Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as zakat is concerned, that the first good action should be done in a manner that you yourself should go and try and distribute that zakat. That's the first course of action. You should not rely on any organization to do this on your behalf. And unfortunately, most organizations, they do not know how to distribute that zakat, and also they don't even know the laws of zakat, kafara, fidya, sadqatul fitr. It is rather sad that most organizations which do not have good ulama on board don't know the distribution areas of zakat. Also, Shariat wants us to help those near us, meaning our relatives, those that are close to us, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, uncles. So you should help those who are near you. Many a time, even in projects also, we tend to give our charities abroad, and locally we require those funds. Yes, one is generosity, but this generosity we sometimes do unwillingly, and we aid those abroad who are deserving, no doubt, but we forget those who are starving, who are in dire need, who are destitute, who are widow, right under our noses. So it is permissible if that box, they are collecting zakat and they know where to distribute that zakat, it is permissible to put your money into that box, provided obviously they are proper, reliable, trustworthy, knowledgeable personnel who are going to receive that zakat and distribute it on your behalf.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. If one qada This question was a bit complicating. Just to tell our listeners out there that to please do send your questions so that we can read them, send them a bit more clear so we can read them, inshallah. Okay, going on to the next question that we have. It says, can you repay your home loan with interest?
First of all, to get into a bond transaction is definitely against the spirit and text of the Sharia. To get a bond without a dire need and necessity will bring the wrath and anger of Allah Jalla Majdu upon the person. If due to circumstances that you were forced to and you were incapacitated as far as your financial resources are concerned, then you went and got yourself involved in such a transaction, and now you have to repay the bond. The interest on that bond you can pay off with interest, not the capital amount. The capital amount has to be paid with non-interest funds. Yes, the interest which has now accumulated and which has been put upon your capital can be paid out with interest which has been got without purposefully, willfully earning that interest. Gee.
Taking the next question that we have in front of us, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Is the urine of a newborn baby napak?
We have translated one book concerning the laws of nabalig children, not published due to lack of funds. The urine of a nabalig child is also impure. And even their vomit is also impure. The nabalig child, there is no difference whether the nabalig child is consuming solids or only liquid or fluids. There is no difference on this. The accepted preferred opinion is that irrespective whether the baby, the nabalig child, is consuming solid or liquid, the urine, it is not pure. So how you will treat any other impurity, fluid impurity, you will treat the urine of the baby as such.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that, Mufisab. Just to remind our listeners out there, our lines are open, 854-1548. Our mobile number for tonight, 08235-65988. Taking the next question, it says, what type of clothing did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the woman in those times wear?
First of all, that remember, there is no what we call jurisprudically sunnat dress stipulated and specified in Islam. But what has been stipulated and classified as sunnah dress is the dress of the sulaha, the pious personalities, the righteous personalities, and that are generally the ulama who are supposed to be righteous and pious and fearing Allah Ta'ala. Their dress will be classified for that locality and for that time and for that period and for those people and for that climate and for that weather, which they adorn, will be classified as sunnah. And that will have certain parameters, loose-fitting, not decorative, not attractive, and above the ankles for the men. Also, the hijab necessary for the female. That was the clothing of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was generally the what we term now as the kurta. And it was, according to even previous scriptures have said, that coming to halfway between the knee and the ankle, was mostly worn by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the kurta was worn generally of coarse material, rough material, meaning that it was not smooth, etc. Loose fitting, shape, contours of the body was not visible. Females were completely covered. Females were covered head to toe. There's an article on our website, alislam.co.za, that the Sahabiyah, they should see through one hole whilst coming out of their homes. The article is entitled, Is It Necessary for the Female to Cover Her Face? Ulama Ikram should write on this issue of whether it is necessary to cover the face or not. A lot of literature is being written to try and substantiate that it is not necessary to cover the face. And those who have got international clout and international pull, and they are controlling television stations, and they have now been classified as so-called international ambassadors of Islam, and now they have been classified as international speakers and representatives of Islam, and who have got television and radio as a mean of communication to Muslims. They are even trying to propagate the views that it is not necessary for the female to cover her face, whereas there is adequate proof available to substantiate that it is necessary to cover the face. So Sahabiyas were not recognized that whose wife is going by, or whose sister is going by, or whose mother is going by. So they were covered. The dress was not attractive by any standards. Loose fitting, and no sound was made. And no perfume was applied by females when they went out.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take the next question that we have here. It says, can sadaqah money be given to a family member?
Sadaqah, one is sadaqah according to the classic Arabic definition. And one is sadaqah, how we who generally come from Indo-Pak, how we translate this word, sadaqah. So sadaqah has got one Arabic connotation, meaning, and purport, and sadaqah has got one Indian meaning. Our sadaqah is, for example, sadaqah-e-bala, someone is getting sick, then you take out sadaqah, you sacrifice, or you give out charity, making dua that, Ya Allah, this is charity, the person must get better. And one is sadaqatul fitr, one is wajib sadaqah, and one is nafil sadaqah. Nafil sadaqah is like lillah. Any person you can give, rich, poor, male, female, young, old, Muslim, not Muslim. Wajib sadaqah, you made a pledge, you broke it. You made a vow, you broke it. And sadaqatul fitr, you made something compulsory upon yourself and you can't fulfill it. You have to give sadaqah. That has to go exactly where zakat goes. Sadaqatul fitr goes exactly where zakat goes. Now, can you give sadaqah to your relative? Yes, if you were sadaqah in the term of lillah, you can give it to your relative. Sadaqah, as far as you are going to help the poor, needy, destitute, and you are regarding that person as one who is worthy of receiving zakat, then you can give sadaqah with that intention also. Ji.
Let's go on to the next question. Just to remind our listeners, our lines are open. It's 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Our mobile number is 0823565988. It's 0823565988. Okay, going on to the next question. It says, if we buy pepper from a non-Muslim family, pepper that is, can we eat it? Or if we eat buy pepper, sometimes questions come a bit unclear. So, okay, if we buy pepper, which we all know, which we eat, yes. From a non-Muslim family, can we eat it?
First of all, they try to make very little bit of research about that, how they are making that papad. And you, as a consumer, are entitled to find out what ingredients they are using. Because papad, there are various types of it. One is that when you put it and fry it, it becomes bigger. And one is when you fry it, it becomes smaller. And one, you can just toast it and utilize it. And one is that without any external oil, etc., you can still utilize it. So various types there. The ingredients also are various types, how they make it. So just try to find out what ingredients are being utilized. If the ingredients are permissible, it is permissible for you to buy it from a non-Muslim.
Okay, going on to the next question. If one takes over a shop and haram food was being sold initially in the certain shop, if you have the ovens clean and everything else clean in the shop, the machines, it says, is it permissible to then sell food from the shop?
Once you have taken over the shop, and now, obviously, they have been utilizing the ovens either for heating or cooking. Now you will, how a normal oven is cleaned. So you clean it thoroughly. Thoroughly so that the smell from that oven prior to you cleaning goes away. And also that there must be no ingredients of the previous product in or on the surface inside the oven. Basically you have to thoroughly clean it. Once you thoroughly clean it, then alhamdulillah you can utilize it for your purposes now. There is no difficulties, there is no problem in that.
Okay. We have a question here. I'm an engineer. I don't think we can take this question because this question pertains to Sanham of Sub. We have a halal question here. Just to tell our listeners that you can phone on a Monday night with the Sanha program for the certain question. It says something about a certain marinade from a certain company. Can we use it or not, Mufassar? I don't think you'll know the answer to that.
No. Those specific questions like that, then you phone, alhamdulillah, we got the program of Sanha, you phone them.
Definitely. Just to remind our listeners that you can phone him Monday night on the Sanha program with Maulana Kara, and you can ask the question pertaining to halal and haram, and I think Sanha will give you a better... more information on the certain item, inshallah. Okay, going on to the next question, it says, is it permissible to enter competitions?
To enter a competition wherein there is no doubt of gambling, when it's just a mere competition, then it is permissible. But if there is any betting going on and any gambling going on, and any money involved so that there is win-lose situation and money utilized for gambling purposes and turning this competition into a gambling activity, then naturally it's going to be haram. But if it's just a competition and to show, to prove your talent, whether it is your talent in mathematics or your talent in any other activity intellectually based, then you can take part in that. If you win and you are awarded a gift, that does not tantamount to gambling.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. We have a question here that says, if out of anger a person says, I backbited of someone, I want to ask him for maaf and for forgiveness, do I have to specify what it was, or do I have to just ask the person for maaf in general?
This is a very bad disease that is going on. And unfortunately, it has affected many people. And it crosses the boundaries of all types of people and from all walks and ranks of life. And it crosses the materialistic boundaries, intellectual boundaries, religious boundaries, everything, unfortunately. And because of this unfortunate calamity of backbiting, a lot of times we have misunderstanding, misrepresentation, and misconstruing of information, slandering, tale-bearing, all other results of this. And it is, as the Quran says, like consuming the meat of your dead brother. It is such a heinous sin that month of Ramadan is coming. If we at least train ourselves in the month of Ramadan to control our tongues from this evil disaster, which is spiritually catastrophic in nature, we will be successful and attain salvation. That person should go to one who he has spoken ill of, and as a blanket rule, tell him, see or her, I have in your absence spoken things out of anger and out of control, which if you heard, you should not be happy. So please forgive me, because I lost control of myself and said things about you which were not true. That is one. Then remember that generally in backbiting, when there are either one person listening or few, and you have misrepresented the information, you should go back to that gathering and those two, three people whom you swore in front of and you spoke ill in front of, person called A, you should go back and locate them, remember who were they, and tell them, see, that I have grossly done injustice to a certain brother, I have spoken ill about him, and totally this is not the truth, and it is against Islam. I have spoken ill of that person behind him and not in his presence. Therefore, I withdraw my words. So, two things. Thirdly, that you should make istighfar and seek tawbah and never do it again. Inshallah, then you will remedy yourself of speaking ill of people. Ji.
Okay, let's take the next question. If you have an SMS competition where they charge a special rate for the SMS, is this possible?
That is haram.
Okay. Is it true that Dhuhr Salah time ends for Shafi and Hanafi at the same time?
Dhuhr Salah ends for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Technically speaking, if you have to make a close research, that may be the conclusion coming to. Yeah.
Okay, going on to the next question. Again, we have a question that's up. A sister says her husband fishes for a league. He does fishing for a certain league or competition and has to pay a fee to enter. Is it permissible for him to fish in 10 in the competition, and at the end they give you a prize?
He is giving a fee for administrative purposes, to utilize their facilities, their boats, their water, their guides, their talent, their experience, their knowledge about what to do, when to do, when to fish, not to fish. So he's paying a administration fee. Classify that as an administration fee. And when he is going there, then make intention that whatever I will catch, this will be for the people to eat, Muslim, non-Muslim, rich, poor, whatever I catch, then inshallah I will give it for food consumption. So he should alter his intention, not for competition, but for food consumption. Then inshallah it will become permissible to fish under those circumstances.
Let's go to the next question. It says, a person wants to know if it is permissible under Islam to work as a bouncer or doorman security in a nightclub or casino.
First of all, as a rule, Islam does not promote violence, and Islam does not go around beating people unjustly. Islam is not that deen that goes around pen and beating people and throwing them out, hitting them. So this is not a cultured activity. This is not a job to be classified as a civilized job. And this is not a job a good Muslim must do. So definitely the person must abstain. And secondly, that he is now in doing the job in an absolutely haram environment, and to promote the activities of that haram environment, he is aiding and abetting that. Thirdly, definitely his salary is coming from that quarters wholly and solely, which is dealing in un-Islamic activities. Therefore, the person should not take that job and should not do that job.
Okay, we have a question here that says, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do after salah with regards to dua?
First of all, that on our website there is a book called Dua After Salah by Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil, who is the Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Camperdown. And jurisprudently speaking, to make dua after salah is mustahab. And mustahab meaning good, nice, preferable, desirable. If the imam leaves it out, it is permissible for him to do so. However, unfortunately, and in most issues, because of proper lack of Islamic education, we generally will not understand the laws properly. The imam, if he leaves it out in our localities, unfortunately he may get fired. So one is the dua is mustahab. Secondly, that if it is to be done, the ideal sunnat method is, it's supposed to be done inaudibly. Nowadays, that all the masajids practically, the dua is there, the dua is loud, and is going longer and louder, and no one is objecting to this. Unfortunately, our tendencies on practicing pure sunnah is disappearing from our hearts and heads and blood. So the dua is mustahab, supposed to be inaudible, and if left out, no problem. And if the dua is to be made, it's supposed to be done ta'aliman for the congregation to learn it. Once they learn it, the imam must make it inaudible again. In those salats which have got sunnats after the faraz, the dua has to be extremely short. In those salats where there is no sunnat after the faraz, the dua can be a little longer. Technically speaking, when the imam gives the salam, he is your angel. He has taken you to the destiny, and the last part of the journey is the salam. Once he has made the salam, if you get up and go away due to need and necessity, there is no problem with that. However, that if we have to do that, and if we do not make the dua after the first salat, then it is regarded as a taboo. But inshallah, as we educate ourselves, then we'll be able to differentiate with clear mind what is Sharia, what is the best course of actions, and what should be done.
Okay, let's take the next question. It says FNB has a competition where you deposit 100 rands a month into the account, and you are then entered into a competition. Is this permissible?
Absolutely haram, that is.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's take our next question. Just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. Okay, just take your new cell phone number. I think the one cell phone died. The new cell phone number for tonight is 084-654-6370. That's 084-654-6370. I repeat, 084-654-6370. Okay, let's take the next question. Is it permissible for a woman to wear imitation silver rings?
Imitation silver rings?
Silver rings, she.
According to Vesti Zewar, it is not permissible to do so. Yeah.
All right, JazakAllah for that, Mufisa. Let's go on to the next question. It says, can one give zakat money to one's stepbrother to pay his home loan as he lost his job?
It is permissible to do so. Yeah.
Okay. Going on to the next question. What is the distance which one must be traveling in order to be regarded as a musafir?
The board of muftis have stipulated the figure 77 kilometers. That means, understand one small masla here, that when you are going to be classified a musafir, then on two conditions you will be classified a musafir. One is that you would make 77 kilometers. And the second is that you are going to make intention of that safar. You are going to make intention of that journey. So sometimes people can travel 100 kilometers, but they have not made intention of safar, of journey. They will not be classified as musafir. So in order to be classified as musafir, you must plan yourself. And a Muslim plans himself. He doesn't just travel 80 kilometers without planning himself. So he has to plan that I am going to be journeying, and I am going to be journeying for more than 77 kilometers. So he makes his intention, and when he makes his intention, and he's got an intention of going more than 77 kilometers, then he will be classified as a musafir, then he can shorten his salat, etc.
Okay, going on to the next question we have on the SMS here on the phone. It says, a person says, I just wanted to find out if it's true that one should read Surah Al-Dahr to find a good partner to get married to.
Certain people have stated that. However, if that person has got an email, then email us, email me, MUFTIE, at muf.co.za, and request for a booklet which is not published, seeking of a suitable spouse, and we'll send you a whole booklet where there are numerous du'as recorded for those who are seeking spouses. They can recite it, and inshallah, Allah Jalla Majdahu will provide a suitable spouse. However, two rakats of salat, salatul hajat, salat of need and necessity, is what we should be trying to concentrate on and to make so that we can implore and besiege Allah Jalla Majdahu directly.
Okay, let's go on to the next question here that we have in front of us. It says, is it possible to read Dua Jamila after every salah?
Anything you do in Shariat has to be substantiated, has to be proven, and has to be that act where there is no doubt. Now, why read that when Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us Quran Kareem? Why do that when Allah Jalla Majdahu has given us Durood Sharif to read? Why read that which is not substantiated, does not have adequate references, has got so much of virtues and unrealistic virtues attached to it without any references, without any proof, then why must we do those things which are not substantiated? Hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. Hold fast to that which is substantiated. Hold fast to that which is proven. Do not do those things which are not proven.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. We have in front of us here that says, okay, we have another question here. Let's take the next question. If one of your family members earns haram, can you eat at their home?
If that person, first of all, we must be sure that that person is earning haram. Don't make assumptions and presumptions. Don't come to conclusions without proper investigation and observation. Don't be judgmental. And don't be over-inquisitive. If that person is definitely earning haram, then abstain from going there. In fact, you must call him over and entertain them, feed them, and make intention that, Ya Allah, let some halal food go in this person's stomach so that he can start seeing that he is doing haram activities. If he has got other forms of income, and the other forms of income are more, then you may eat there, making istighfar all the time. Thirdly, that if you are really certain that that person is earning haram, then you should talk to that person very politely, nicely, humbly, and enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, present your case that that person is doing wrong, talk to that person, and that person is going to ask one question: what's the alternative? So have your answers ready for all types of questions, and approach the subject humanly, Islamically. Inshallah, Allah will open the way for you to explain and that person to accept.
Let's go to the next question we have in front of us. It says, can you give zakat money to your servant?
First of all, in our country, most of our attendants are not Muslims. Well, how you can give them zakat money? How you can give the non-Muslim zakat money? That is not permissible. If the attendant is a Muslim, and now you want to give them zakat money, on one side, yes, there is permissibility, but you do not have to humiliate them by saying this is zakat money. Give it to them by way of bonus, number one. Secondly, do not give it to them during the festive seasons of the enemies, because they will think that they are getting it because of the festive season of the enemies. Give it during our happy, joyous occasions. Also, by giving zakat to them, if they are liable and worthy recipients of zakat, then you cannot extract extra services from them, or you cannot expect them to honor you more, or you got no right over them because you financially, monetarily helped them and aided them. You have to give it without any strings attached, without any obligations forthcoming attached, without any kickbacks, without any ulterior motive. You have to give that zakat to them. Jee.
Okay, JazakAllah Khair, Mufti Saab. Just we had a request from somebody asking what is Mufti Saab's email address, if you can announce it on the radio.
Email is very simple. mufti@mweb.co.za any person can email, and you can at liberty to discuss anything, provided you are constructive. And also, you can comment on anything that I say or write, provided you are academic. If you get emotional or sentimental, then inshallah we will not reply.
Okay, going on to the next question that we have, it says, what is the best way to abstain from sin?
The rule or the principle we derive, or the answer I derive, is from with Allah Jalla Majdahu says, لا تقربوا الزنا, that do not go near zina, adultery, fornication, immodesty, immorality, indecency, heinous moral activity. But Allah Jalla Majdahu, He's using the verb that do not go near. Nor karuba in Arabic means that don't even go right near or close by. So stay far away from that. So a person, first of all, must make a resolution that he must not go near the place of sin, near the amenities of sin, near the time of sin, near the funding of sin, near the funders of sin, near the facilitators of sin, near the organizers of sin. So the person, first of all, should look what sin is he involved in, and then look at the surrounding, the circumstances that lead to the sin, the causes that lead to the sin. Once he knows all the causes, on a piece of paper you write down the sin, and then write all the causes of the sin, the place, the time, the company that's taking you there, the evil people who are funding it, the time where you have to come out, the companions who are dragging you there, the environment, the setup. So when you listed it, then start eliminating it. The company eliminate, the funders eliminate, the time eliminate, the place eliminate. You seclude yourself from that sin. Make hijrat from that sin. Go away from that sin. Abstain by staying away from that sin and its causes, amenities and facilitators. Inshallah, this formula you could use for any sin. List the sin, list the causes of the sin, eliminate the causes, freeze up the sin. Inshallah, in that spare time, go towards good. Salat, Quran tilawat, recitation of durood, making of zikr, do all that. Keep the company of the pious, enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil, strive in the path of Allah. Then inshallah, sin will disappear.
Okay, let's go to the next. I think we have two callers online, so if you can take it. We have a brother from Zakaria Park. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. What is up? I would like to know how you calculate zakat on an investment coin. Do you pay by the grams of the gold, or do you have to pay the amount of the market value? Because various jewelers, they have various prices. One is, like for instance, the half a crude coin has what he quoted me, 2,800. Somebody said 2,600. Now, which is the right value market price, the current price? Or do you have to work on the gold contents of the coin?
Inshallah.
Can I?
Okay, yeah, you can listen to me, brother, inshallah. JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum. Let's take the next caller first. Assalamu alaikum. I have a brother from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think we lost the call. Let's do this question.
Okay. The brother, the answer is very simple, that current market-related value should be taken. Now, I understand his dilemma. that one is saying 2-4, one is saying 2-8. There is a rule in when calculating zakah that use the higher figure. Why? By utilizing the higher figure, benefit for the poor, destitute, needy, widow, wayfarer, one out who is stranded, the one in debt, will be higher, the benefit for them. By you calculating on a higher figure. So market, current market related value, that's what your benchmark, your criterion is. And if two are giving, reputed assessors are giving, and one is slightly higher, then take the higher price into consideration when you're calculating your zakat. Yeah.
Okay, Jazakumullah for this. Let's take the next question. Just to remind our listeners out there that our mobile number is 084-654-6370. Next question that we have here, it says, is it permissible for a woman to shape her eyebrows? And can a woman cut her hair to please her husband, even if she wears a scarf?
This I've repeatedly said, that it is not permissible for a woman to cut their hair or shape their... You see, what is shape? When shaping is permissible, provided there is no trimming, cutting involved. I will repeat. Because unfortunately, somehow or the other, we don't seem to be understanding this language, English. And I, inshallah, am trying to speak a very simple English. And it is surprising that those who are understanding to don't understand simple laws and rules and regulations when they are explained. That shaping of the existing hair is permissible. Shaping without removal is permissible. Shaping without plucking is permissible. Shaping without pulling is permissible. Cutting is haram.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufizab. Let's take the next question. What would be more rewarding, giving something with the knee of sadaqah or giving with the reward of hadiyah?
One is that, as I told you at the beginning of the program, sadaqah, Indian sadaqah or Arabic sadaqah. Now, both, if it is for the person who is not legible for zakat, you can make intention of lillah. And obviously, lillah will be more rewardable. Zakah is an obligation and a necessity. And it is something that you are going to be tremendously be rewarded for fulfillment of the obligation. And when now you give lillah, over and above that, you are making further sacrifices. And Allah will reward for that. And if you give a loan, in our humble research, giving of loan is obtaining maximum reward. According to the narrations, according to 180, according to others, 800 times more sawab. So go and give loans. And non-interest bearing returning loans.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. So let's see the next question. It says, I just want to know if it's permissible to insert implants in your teeth and if it's permissible to crown your teeth as well.
Implants, what do you mean by that?
I'm not sure. So maybe putting other teeth into your gums, I think so.
Okay, if they are doing the tooth implants, that are permissible. That permanent false teeth. So permanent false teeth implantation in the gum, that is permissible. And to crown, because the dentist wants to crown because he wants to save the tooth, that also is permissible. And to utilize gold as a medical necessity as far as the teeth are concerned is permissible. But to utilize gold as an ornament, that is not allowed. And remember the rule as far as men are concerned, that men should not be decorative for beautification in nature.
Okay, we have a sister from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I just wanted to find out if you use your credit card on straight, right? You're running a business, you use your credit card on straight. In the bank has an offer whereby they tell you that for every 5 rand or something that you use, then they accumulate points for you. And at the end of a term or whatever, then they accumulate the points, and if it comes to a certain amount of points, then they give you a gift. They give you a list of gifts to choose from. But the account, the credit card account, is paid off before the on a straight, you know, before the 55-day period or whatever. I just need to know if that is permissible or not.
What's permissible, the straight or the gift?
The gift.
Okay. Jazakallah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum. See you, sister.
First of all, as a rule, that credit cards or plastic cards we should try to keep far from. The straight transaction, as she describes it, obviously is not going to be bearing interest, is permissible. Upon the point system, now they gave you a gift, you can take that gift. Gee.
Okay, let's take the next question that we have here. Well, the same question came in, is it permissible to put crowns in your teeth?
Permissible to put crowns.
Okay, I think that was our last question. No other questions here. Some nasiha now, inshallah, from your side.
I would just like to pick up on the point of plastic money. That unfortunately these days, that there's a tendency and a fashion to have plastic cards, and people boast also that I have got this plastic card and I have got that plastic card, and you know, I am a member of that, and I have utilized this plastic card in my journey, and when I go out, I, because of this plastic card, I got this facility, and their lives rotate, their financial lives rotate around plastic cards. Where the trouble starts is when a person loses track of how much money he's got on the plastic card or her. And then all the chain stores in their plan and plot to financially strangle a common person, they offer plastic cards. Shop, take it on credit, and this procedure goes on. As Muslims, we should be spending what we got. And at no stage we should try to overspend. If you like something, you do not have the money, and it is not a necessity, leave it out. Do not make non-entities entities in our life. Do not make non-essentialities essentials in our lives. Do not make luxuries necessities. Do not make comforts essentialities. Do not make the situation, make such a situation that you have to now go and in debt, go and involve yourself in interest. Before you know, you are in a quicksand of interest. You're paying this firm, that company, that shop, that chain store, and you are running with one card. And you are running, taking money from one person, paying another person, then taking from that person, paying another person, all that goes on. Before you know what happened, you are financially bankrupt. You think you got a lot of cards. Meanwhile, these are all plastic money, as we say. As a rule, use the plastic card if you can control yourself. If you cannot control yourself, throw it away. Don't use this. It will put you into the war with Allah Ta'ala. And no one has gone to war with Allah Ta'ala and won. You will lose. Any person going into interest haram transactions will lose. Spiritually, financially, morally, this world, the cover, and in the akhirat. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to become pious, do also what is necessary, essential, stay away from sin, and adhere to that which is necessary, and also stay very far away from the corrupt, interest-bearing financial systems which are prevalent and designed to ruin us and to destroy us.
Sorry, Eric. I think so. We just got one last call, if you can take the call. The brother just phoned in now. We have one call and one question as well. Okay, let's take the brother from Florida. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Recently I received an email from a relative regarding fasting. And it was about the breaking of the fast, what breaks the fast and what doesn't break the fast. Now, I just wanted to know about the applying eye drops. Why doesn't it break the fast?
You know why it does not break it?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. I'll answer it.
Jazakallah for this, brother. Mufasa will answer it, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
It is stated that the surma was applied and the taste of the surma should be felt, and that did not invalidate the fast. Also, medically speaking, that the eye drops causes no direct nourishment to the stomach or the brain.
Okay, well, so we have a question here that says, in Makkah Mukarramah, in Medina, is it better for females to perform Salah in the Haram or their room?
If the Harams are congested, it is definitely better to perform in your rooms.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next one more question. It says, daily after every Fard Salah, all the Musallis run to the Imam and shake hands and embrace each other, just like Eid Day. What is your comment on this?
This is an innovation. This is an innovation, and we should not do this. And research is showing that salat, after certain salats to make musafa, is the sign of the Shias. And this we have seen in many places also, that this is over veneration of the Imam. Once you have this happening, the Imam also is waiting, also people must greet him so he can feel important. Those that are not greeting him feel, am I doing something wrong? Those that are doing it, they think this is part of now the procedure of ethics and mannerism of Salah and Masjid, that we have to greet the Imam. Can you imagine that if this was prevalent in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is not recorded in the kitabs, that after every salat, can you imagine how many hundreds of sahaba would line up to greet Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And musafaha, most of us unfortunately do not know the correct proceeding of musafaha. We just put our hands together. And we have now classified this putting of hands together as musafaha. Lengthy discussion what is proper musafaha. However, this action, the Imam himself should be informed that this is not conducive and this is not accorded to Sharia, and he himself should prevent this. If it was prevalent in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I think if they started shaking hands with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zohar time, he should have finished Asr time, and if he started Asr time, he should have finished Maghrib time, and so on. And there is no substantiation in the books of Sunnah and Fiqh and Hadith that you have to shake hands with the Imam after he has performed the Salat. this is a innovation and it should be abstained from. That which is proven should be done, that which is not proven should not be done.
Well, Seb, earlier on you mentioned on silver imitation rings for females. Is it permissible or not?
According to best, is ever not permissible.
Okay, and for males?
Males should not utilize decorative things. So they should not utilize the rings for decorative purposes. Silver ring for males will be permissible. But now, the other time someone said, why can't a male wear a diamond ring? Now, diamond, gold, all these are decorative things. And decorative jewelry should not be utilized by men. Gee.
So we have one lengthy question. Sorry about that. A few questions just came in now, and I think we should take them because we have some time.
Why we got no time? It's over.
If you permit, if you please, sir, if you give permission. Okay, it says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. My son experienced something very amazing. He was busy making dhikr on the beach when the sky just sort of opened and a beautiful light shone from there. He was joyous beyond anything. He believes that it was a sign from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to tell him that Allah is pleased with him or with his actions. He said what he saw was so divine and indescribable. Please comment. He does not want to tell anybody as he feels they will laugh at him.
First of all, that he should go to the alim that he has got confidence in, because there's a lot of questions to ask here, and to determine first of all the person who saw this, that is he stable, is he sane, and what time was this happening, when it was happening, and what was he reading, and what made him sit in that place, all those too many questions. However, it's a good sign. He should not regard somebody who's going to laugh at him.
Okay, next question. A person says, can I rent a house to a Muslim who sells alcohol in the supermarket?
No, this is the one. Is he going to sell alcohol from the house or is he selling alcohol in
the
supermarket?
He sells alcohol in the supermarket and the brother wants to know if he can rent his house to him.
Permissible, makruh.
Okay, under what circumstances are you allowed to sit and perform salah?
When you are incapacitated, that means you cannot stand completely or go in ruku or go in sijda.
Okay, it says the last question. I just want to know, is it permissible for me to sell any product to a church?
Permissible, makruh.
When making dua, should your hands be closed or open?
Slightly apart. When you have both hands, between your two hands, slightly apart, hands should be parallel to the chest and a little bit open towards the sky.
Okay, JazakAllah Mustafa for that. I think this was our last question. No other question, inshallah, coming in for tonight. JazakAllah Mustafa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah in your life, inshallah, increase you in your knowledge, inshallah. JazakAllah. And request dua from you as well for all the listeners out there.
No, I also request du'as from all the listeners. Inshallah.
The month of Ramadan is coming as well. Mufasa, please do remember us in your du'as.
Inshallah, all at the radio station and all the listeners. That Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to be with the Iman and to live with Iman, die with Iman and be resurrected with Iman. Jazakallah.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum.